Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And Mary's Orlando, are you ready for Drag Queen Bingo?
On a corner stage at Hamburger Mary's, a drag bar in downtown Orlando, two queens named Ginger Minge and Gidget Galore sang songs, called out bingo numbers, and cracked jokes.
Either it's going to be that we're in the dark at a bathhouse, or we're flaming on the surface of the sun.
Well, let us flame on.
You know, all right, there we go.
We fought our whole lives to be able to say gay. Damn it, we're not going to say it now.
There were gay and straight people in the crowd, men and women, young and old people. A few families brought school-aged children. Everybody was having a good time. But for the owner, John Panessa, this is the front line of America's culture war.
I never thought I would be in a lawsuit that would be taken to the Supreme Court.
John and his husband sold insurance before they opened the bar in 2008. And they had fun running the business for over a decade. Then, last year, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law barring minors from performances that include what it calls lewd conduct. John felt like a target had been placed on his business. Indeed, DeSantis made this vow when he was sworn in for a second term that January.
Florida is where woke goes to die.
The Hamburger Mary's Orlando franchise is a plaintiff in a federal lawsuit to overturn that DeSantis initiative. A judge in Orlando blocked the law from taking effect. The state's lawyers pushed the U.S. Supreme Court to narrow the scope of that reprieve, but the justices declined to intervene. The drag restrictions are just one part of the culture war in Florida. DeSantis has signed laws that restrict medical procedures for transgender youth, prohibit instruction on gender identity in K-8 public schools, ban funding for diversity programs on college campuses, and allow parents to object to books in school libraries that they find offensive. DeSantis cited the legislation, as well as his quick release of COVID-19 restrictions, while running for a big re-election win in 2022. He also hoped it would juice a bid for the White House, but his campaign fizzled after the Iowa caucuses in January. Which raises the question, do these culture war issues really have national appeal? And how big of a role do they play as Republicans rally around former President Donald Trump? I'm Jimmy Vielkind, and this is Chasing the Base, a podcast series from The Wall Street Journal exploring the dynamics of the Republican presidential contest. I went to Florida to find out exactly who gets excited by these culture war issues and how important they are for voters thinking about who they'll support for the presidency.
November 5th is going to go down as the single most important day in the history of our country.
With the general election matchup between Trump and Biden set, Florida's March 19th primary will be a bit sleepy. But examining the state's politics and DeSantis' role in shaping them offers insights into how relevant the culture wars are to Republican voters as it relates to their choice for president, and how Trump, who has focused his campaign on other issues, like immigration and his prior White House experience, has held on to the Republican base throughout the primary. My colleague Ariane Campoflores has lived in the Sunshine State for the last 20 years, and he's seen the political climate change.
Florida, for a long time, was like the quintessential purple swing state in the U.S. And part of the reason for that is it's like a collection of very different regions that are constantly in flux. After the 2016 election of Donald Trump, Florida began really sort of tilting increasingly red. So Trump won in 2016 by a very narrow margin. Then he won in 2020 when he lost the overall election. He still won Florida by about 3 points, which by Florida standards was a significant margin. And then from there, it just was sort of like off to the races.
One person who exemplifies that shift is DeSantis. He won the governorship in 2018 by less than a percentage point. But in 2022, he was reelected by almost 20 points. DeSantis started off with moderate policies, particularly on the environment, that crossed party lines. But he really came into his own during the COVID-19 pandemic, when he lifted restrictions on schools and businesses sooner than most other states, even amid warnings from medical experts.
He really began to pursue this agenda that focused a lot on schools, on corporations, on the workplace, and was his, you know, self-described war on woke. It's hard to keep track of all the measures that and policies that he pursued and put in place and effectively carried out because there was just so many of them.
Here's some highlights. In 2022, DeSantis signed a law prohibiting instruction of gender identity in lower elementary school grades. That bill, dubbed Don't Say Gay by its critics, led to a high-profile fight with Disney. A year later, after winning that re-election but before launching his presidential campaign, he signed another round of bills. The new laws made it easier for objecting parents to remove a book from a school library and prevented transgender people from using public bathrooms that don't correspond to their sex at birth. They also included that statute that John Panessa is challenging.
We have a very crazy age that we live in. There's a lot of nonsense that gets floated around, and what we've said in Florida is we are going to remain a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy, and kids should have an upbringing that reflects that.
To John, it was all done with an eye toward the White House.
I think by and large, people are supportive of the LGBT community, but these, you know, the Republicans have their base who are going to follow them and listen no matter what.
There isn't much public polling about what Floridians think about these culture war policies. A poll by Siena College in the fall of 2022 found that most voters surveyed opposed DeSantis's law restricting instruction on gender identity. A poll last summer from Florida Atlantic University about the spat between the governor and Disney, which began over the education restrictions, found mixed opinions by voters. But both surveys showed a stark partisan split, with broad support for DeSantis's policies among self-identified Republicans. People like Robin Langford. She's a member of Tampa Republican Women Federated. I spoke with her at the group's monthly soiree about the laws limiting instruction on things like sexual orientation.
I like the fact that he has taken a stand to allow parents to be involved and parents have a say.
Okay.
That shouldn't even be a question, I don't think. And I think that it's a parent's responsibility to teach those specific things. And I think Governor DeSantis has done a great job in applying that logic.
But Robin said she wasn't ready to support DeSantis for the presidency, mostly because Trump is still around, and she remembers his time in office fondly. Another person I met that evening is April Schiff. She's a Republican state committee woman, and she's been running campaigns for the last two decades. She said there are limits to how you can use the culture war while running for office.
I don't think the voters are as much as the activists and the people that are involved that are pushing those issues. And it, for them, it's very important issues.
Right.
But I don't see the voters going, oh, yeah, we, you know, that's a big deal.
April had actually been with DeSantis earlier that day in Plant City, which is about 25 miles east of downtown Tampa. He was making a trip to the annual Strawberry Festival, which is like, well, it's like a strawberry-flavored state fair.
It was a strawberry spaghetti eating contest. The strawberry shortcake is supposedly really famous. And you've got a whole big group of people here. Right now, we can see people frying up, I don't know what they're frying. They're frying something.
I caught a quick glimpse of DeSantis as he passed through with his son. Then I asked voters about him, Trump, and the culture wars. What I heard at the fair lined up with Robin's take. DeSantis was a little too green in their eyes for a White House run. Bob Sanatick, who moved to Florida after he retired, told me that the school issues weren't at the top of his mind.
They're not big issues for me, but they're issues. I don't like to see that kind of stuff in with the grade school age kids.
Yep.
That should be left to the parents.
Bob told me he's a diehard Trump supporter. Other people who support the former president cited his positions on immigration and the way the economy was during his tenure. John and Kathy Bug told me they saw no reason to turn to someone else, even though they like DeSantis.
I feel they've opened the border, which they shouldn't have done because Trump had it closed. And the economy, everybody was doing well when Trump was there. And now everything's double the price.
But then there are the activists who April Schiff was talking about, for whom the social fights are a big deal. We'll hear from some of them after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Last fall, Julie Gebhardts got up to speak in front of the local school board. It went viral.
This is in children's libraries here in Hillsborough County, approved by that committee unanimously at Plant High. It's in multiple schools. There's 10 images of that woman's naked breast in that book.
Thank you. Thank you, next speaker. And no one's allowed to bring displays. Am I right, Mr. Porter? That is a rule.
This isn't a library book in your classrooms.
And thank you, next speaker.
We can't show that here.
Thank you, next speaker.
Julie's a mother of six who lives in the eastern reaches of the county, closer to Plant City than to Tampa. She's become a regular at school board meetings, and on October 17th, she was objecting to a graphic novel called Blankets. The book, by Craig Thompson, is about a boy coming of age, including a love affair with a girl he meets at church camp. Gebhardts focused on illustrations of nudity and a sexual encounter between the two characters. She said she considers the book to be shameful and degrading, and she tried to have it removed from the library at Plant City High School. I met her when I went to Florida earlier this month.
And that's what I feel like my goal and my job is, to expose and let parents decide for themselves. If they want their kid to read it, then that's their prerogative.
After Julie started speaking up 4 years ago, she got involved with a group called Moms for Liberty. The organization embraced DeSantis's slate of culture war laws, and its members used their provisions to object to texts. Around 300 books were removed in the 2022-23 school year. Many had to do with LGBTQ themes. Tina Deskovich, one of the women who founded Moms for Liberty, said her group is inclusive. But its critics see a darker effect of these laws. Katie Blankenship is a lawyer who runs the Florida office for PEN America, a writers group that's been at the forefront of fighting against book removals. It's suing a school district along the Florida Panhandle over its removal of several texts. Have you been busy?
That's what they're like. As soon as I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I'm the director of the Florida office. And they're like, oh my God.
I met Katie near a bookstore in Winter Park that had a whole shelf dedicated to banned books. DeSantis, for his part, says it's not fair to say books are banned. They're just taken out of school libraries. Either way, a store clerk there said the books sell well, and that people are surprised to see classic titles among them, like The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. Some conservatives argue the culture war issues have brought people into the political sphere. Once establishing a common goal in addressing culture fights, candidates or campaigns can then talk to those voters about the economy and other issues to tell them about the party. But it's less clear whether people who are animated by them represent a vocal minority or a widespread constituency. Tina Deskovich said that 29% of members of Moms for Liberty, which appeals to conservatives but is technically nonpartisan, had never before voted in a primary. 12% of members weren't registered to vote. Tina said about 66% of the group's members identify as Republicans.
We're not trying to bring people into the Republican Party. That's, you know, if that's a byproduct of the work we're doing, that's fine.
But there are signs that the group's influence is stalling. Fewer than half of the school board candidates endorsed by Moms for Liberty in 2023 won, according to outside analyses, and the percentage was lower than in 2022. Bridget Ziegler, another founding mother of the group, was involved in a sex scandal opening the organization to charges of hypocrisy. Tina said Bridget hasn't been heavily involved with the group for a while, and that the hypocrisy charges are just haters hating. Bridget has rejected calls to resign as a school board member and said at a meeting that there's, quote, a lot of hyperbole and rhetoric out there. Katie from PEN America pointed out another sign of the culture war ebbing in Tallahassee. State lawmakers this month declined to act on several bills, including one that would have banned the rainbow pride flag from public buildings. And lawyers for the state and LGBTQ groups this month settled a lawsuit over the so-called Don't Say Gay law. The state will clarify that there can be discussion of sexual orientation in school, just not instruction. Both sides claimed victory. And that book Julie objected to last fall when she went viral? It's still in the school library after a district committee voted unanimously to keep it. Julie, who was joined by her friend Alyssa, said she's not discouraged and she'll keep speaking up.
I think traction for me is measured in people knowing and exposure and being able to be in a public forum and have a voice. And so that's how I'm measuring success. And I do think, like any organization like Moms for Liberty that started 2 years ago, there's going to be some setbacks. There's going to be some things that happen that we didn't anticipate happening. And it's, what are we going to do now? We're going to get back up and
start reading
keep
away.
At it.
You can't dispute that these issues are part of the political discourse now. DeSantis will be governor of the country's third largest state through the end of 2026. Moms for Liberty will continue to organize in more places. But talking to voters in Florida, it does seem like these efforts are still only happening on the edges. Republicans who I met were generally supportive, but not excited. Nobody other than Julie told me it was a top issue for them in the presidential election. That's something DeSantis learned, too, when he lost to Trump by double digits in Iowa, and public polling showed him similarly behind in his home state. But my other major takeaway is that DeSantis is sitting on a solid political foundation. People who told me they supported Trump over him didn't fault DeSantis for pursuing the culture war. They said it either wasn't enough of a motivator to back DeSantis for president, or it just wasn't DeSantis's time, partly because Trump had a battle-tested record on immigration and the economy. April, the state committeewoman, and her friend Terry Castro put it well.
The national issues are 100% different, and people don't really want to hear what you're doing in Florida. They want to know, what are you going to do for us, for the United States of America? I'm a huge DeSantis supporter, but if I had been advising him, 2028's your lane, baby, 2028.
2028.
Don't challenge President Trump.
Yeah.
Chasing the Base is part of The Wall Street Journal's What's News. This episode was produced by Jess Jupiter and Ariana Osperu. Sound design by Jessica Fenton. Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Editorial oversight from Joshua Jamerson, Falada Patterson, Ben Pershing, Scott Salloway, and Chris Zinsley. I'm Jimmy Vielkind, and I'll be back in a few weeks with one last installment of Chasing the Base, hearing from voters in New York.